Welcome back to Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts. This is your host, Eric Hart.
And Ashley Flowers. It's officially October, which means it is Halloween time.
And with Halloween just around the corner, we're going to talk about blood.
Yes, all of our favorites to talk about. So I'm sure everyone at some point has to deal with blood because it's an always in almost every show, I feel like. We're always wanting to have blood in something.
From the Greek tragedies all the way up to the latest Quentin Tarantino film.
Exactly. So there's tons and tons of blood products that we're going to start off with. You know, there's edible blood and there's commercial blood. You can make your own type of blood. So we're going to kind of break those down a bit, and then we're going to talk about some blood effects that we have done and enjoyed and their success and failure in those.
I think we should start off, maybe talk about why you would use a homemade version and why you would go with a commercial version. Obviously, everybody always wants to know homemade recipes because it's assumed that it's going to be cheaper and you're going to have more control, but you should always consider the commercial-based versions because you're going to have consistency. And if you're in a theater where you have to pay for labor, you're saving on all that labor costs.
Also, a lot of people would like to have homemade blood because, for example, if your actor is only coughing up blood in one scene for a few seconds each night and you only have like a 20-show run, buying a lot of blood might be too costly and you can just quickly make up a batch that'll last the whole entire run instead of spending all the money.
You know, unless you're living in New York or LA, you're not going to have these commercial bloods available at your local retailer. You're going to have them shipped in. And so there's a big difference between, you know, you run out of blood before the very last show and you're able to run to Walmart and pick up some chocolate syrup and some red food coloring as opposed to frantically calling up trying to get next day shipping for an absurd amount of money to get some more blood shipped into you.
Yeah, so, and just for that one night too.
Yeah, lots of considerations, but those are kind of your two main choices, is commercial or homemade. And of course, you could always modify the commercial blood too if you want a slightly different color or thickness.
There are definitely ways to thicken the commercial blood that you get, as well as making it more liquidy, and changing the color is very easy as well. But that also can change the formula, obviously, of some of the blood to make it a little bit harder to wash out, which we'll talk about a little bit later on some of the commercial bloods that we like to use.
Right. So thinking about blood, obviously the big thing is, does it wash out of what it's going to be touching? That's certainly one of, you know, your costume designer is going to be asking that right away. Your set designer or set technical director might be asking that too, if it's going to be splashing on the stage or anything. Does it wash out? But something you also have to consider is it edible? Is it going to be in or around actors' mouths? Do they actually have to put it in their mouth? And so can it be an edible blood, or can you have chemicals in it if it's not going to be around their mouth? And then there's all the visual things too. There's different colors of blood. There's dark blood that comes out of you. There's lighter blood. And then, you know, just depending on what costumes it's on or what lighting it's under, you may have to mess with the color as well. And then, of course, there's all the different consistencies. There's blood that flows freely. There's, you know, blood that goes into a blood effect, like a blood cannon that needs to be able to be very liquidy. And then you got the thicker blood that kind of sits on you for a long time and doesn't drip. So usually props people are dealing with, you know, dripping blood and blood effects, as opposed to costumes and makeup, who may be dealing with the makeup blood, which is sort of an actor applies like a cut off stage and walks on. And this will be the super thick blood where it's just kind of sitting there as opposed to like moving or flowing out of them.
When you're starting these conversations of what your director is wanting, what kind of color they're looking for, the thickness and everything that Eric just said, you also want to be checking in with the actor because you need to know, do they have any allergies? This is just like when we talked about food the other week, of checking in with the actors to see if they have allergies or are they comfortable with certain things. A lot of people have skin allergies. So you might think, oh, I have some blood in the back that we use for another show. It'll be perfect for this show. Well, they might be allergic to one of those ingredients. And that might be another reason that you have to make your own blood, is because certain commercial ones have ingredients that your actor is too sensitive to.
So let's start off with the most basic handmade recipe, the one that everybody should know, that's kind of from there, all other recipes are kind of derived. So mm-hmm. I think the most basic you could do is just your corn syrup and your red food coloring. This is kind of where every homemade Halloween maker starts. Monster movies, that sort of thing. Corn syrup's mm-hmm. got the consistency. Red food coloring's got the color. Mm-hmm. It's got the right flow. It's edible, you know. It's safe to put in and around the mouth. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's going to be tough to clean up. And if you don't clean it up, it's going to attract insects. You can make it thinner just by adding water, and you can mess with the color just by drops of other colors. Usually like a blue or a green can kind of make it look more like blood from a vein, you know, less of that shocking red. You mm-hmm. definitely want to avoid yellow or orange, because that starts making it look like tomato sauce.
Yeah.
and it's hard to work away from there. So that's kind of your basic. And then chocolate syrup added to that is mm-hmm. another sort of modifier to sort of make it thicker, make it darker as well, more opaque. So you can mm-hmm. use chocolate syrup, or you could use cocoa powder if you really want it to be thicker. So this is like your basic food-based blood. Everybody should know as the sort of like go-to method for the absolute cheapest edible blood that you don't care if it stains anything.
Yeah. And the biggest problem that I have with this blood is if you have an actor that gets blood on themselves, say in the middle of the show, and you give them this type of a recipe, it's going to get sticky after a while. Yeah. Because it does have that corn syrup in it. It does, you know, have that chocolate in it. And with the food coloring, it most likely will stain more because it's sitting on the skin longer. I mean, it'll come off eventually, obviously, but it's not going to be a quick rinse and it's off. And there was a show that I did where an actor had to be completely drenched in blood, and the whole set was drenched in blood. And we were going to use a non-edible blood for that moment, except for the moment where his face was covered in blood. The one that his face was covered in blood, we wanted to make sure we used this edible, the chocolate base one. But unfortunately, he had to sit there for another 30, 40 minutes after that blood was put on his face, because that's how it was written. And it was very, very sticky at the end. And he had to take a shower almost. Well, he did take a shower every single night from that, because he was just covered in chocolate, poor thing.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely awful.
Yeah, it was. I felt so bad. But he was such a trooper. He was like, sure, let's do it. And I said, are we sure we want to put it on his face? We can't just put it around his neck and shoulder. No. It had to be on his face. So mm-hmm. we had to use the edible version.
Yeah. And with the staining, I mean, even if you can switch out costumes all the time, it'll stain your skin. And so you might have an actor or an actress with pink tinged skin after a few performances that they have to live mm-hmm. with. So obviously this is great for films. You know, you could just spray it around, do it once. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the cleanup. For theater, a little less so. So there's a couple ways you can kind of make it a little easier to clean. Mm-hmm. I've heard that powdered food coloring stains less than the liquid food coloring. Most of the time you have to buy that online or at specialty bakery stores, which may mm-hmm. not be around your area if you live in a less urban area. Or there's natural food powdered colors that are more stain resistant. Powdered mm-hmm. beetroot, I heard, is one of them. So it's a little more purple, so you kind of have to play with it. But a lot of people have had success with that, both for blood and for making fake wine that is less staining. So the other big way to kind of cut down on the stain effect is to mix a protein in. And that, so I guess the protein binds with the coloring. And the most common one mm-hmm. people use is peanut butter. So creamy peanut butter, obviously, not the chunky. Yeah. It also adds some thickness and some opacity to it. So you might not need as much or any chocolate syrup. But this gets into what you were talking about earlier with allergies.
Yeah.
Is that it's a big nut allergy. And so if you're shooting peanut butter based blood onto somebody with a nut allergy, you could give them an allergic reaction. So that's definitely something you want to check with your stage manager before mixing it up and spraying it all over your actors.
Yeah.
I have heard.
And there are so many people with nut allergies these days.
Yeah.
Almost everybody. I don't think I've done a show without one nut allergy.
Right. I would say, too, even if you check with your cast, you never know if somebody in your audience has one. And especially if you're doing a blood effect that's like spraying this blood into the air, there are people who have nut allergies so severe that if it's even in the air, could have a reaction.
I know of an actress who, it's not with nut allergies, but oranges. She actually has an allergy to citrus.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when way back in college, we were in class and somebody started peeling an orange. And luckily she saw it before he started. And she ran out of that room so quickly. And, you know, we're all like, what's going on? And her friends were telling us, no, she's so allergic that if he were to have peeled that orange in the room, she would have had a reaction.
Right.
And that's the same with like peanuts and stuff like that. You never know because it could be an airborne allergy as well.
But I have heard some people have success with other type of nut butters. So like sesame butter, which is tahini, mixing that and will have the same effect as the peanut butter, but without the possible allergic reactions.
Yeah.
So again, experiment and take into account all these different considerations.
On the other side of edible, you have the non-edible blood, which you can have homemade recipes for as well. And those usually consist of soap or a detergent. And the idea of that is to help clean up the blood when you're ready. And these can be pretty great. You can usually use any type of detergent that you have. But once again, you want to make sure is an actor touching this because a lot of people have allergies to different detergents. Obviously, you don't want this to be near their face at all. And another thing is you have to keep in mind is detergents are soapy. Soap creates bubbles. So what are you doing with the blood? Are you shooting it out of an air hose? You know, is it going to get all bubbly and foamy? Or is it just kind of sat there, something's dunked into it or whatever, and it's not going to get bubbly? You know, you have to take those considerations into as well when you're creating the soap base blood.
Yeah, I remember we were doing Titus Andronicus at the Public Theater, and the end of the show, they wanted buckets of blood, 5-gallon buckets of blood to be tossed on the actors, all the actors. So this is, I forget, it was like 30 to 50 gallons of blood per show being sloshed around stage. And so trying to find a blood that was cheap enough to mix in those quantities was really difficult, and also something that could be washed out. So they were experimenting with soap-based bloods because that's amongst the cheapest you could do and the easiest to wash out. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's turning into a bubble bath on stage. There's just bubbles everywhere, you know, like one of those raves with a bubble machine going on, except everybody's covered in blood. So trying to find a soap that was as bubble-free as possible, which was very difficult.
Oh,
I usually like to use like dishwashing detergent or something, and usually something that's blue colored because, again, you're adding blue dye to blood recipes to make it look more purplish. And so starting off with a blue soap, you're already halfway there, and it's dark and it's already adding thickness to it. And then if you do need something that could get around your face or around your eyes, it's not going to be edible, but if you use like baby shampoo or something as your soap instead, then it's going to be less caustic on the eyes. You know, it's kind of designed to get in your eyes. Obviously, it's not for pouring in your eyes. This is more like it might accidentally get near your eyes. But I don't think there's any blood recipe really that is made to pour directly in your eyes.
Not yet. We'll work on it.
You kind of want to avoid getting anything in your eyes as much as possible. But
and if there ever is a moment where you think an actor might get something in their eyes, like this blood, even though it's, you know, baby body wash, have eye drops nearby. If you can hide them on set for the actor, we've had to do that a few times where there were moments where the actor could turn around for quite a bit to put some drops in his eyes in case he got blood in there. So that's always good, just in case, because you never know. You don't want the actor to get something in their eye and then spend another 30 minutes on stage irritated and then it getting red, right, and then he comes off stage freaking out,
trying to do their lines in between tears.
Yeah, exactly. Now, one of the main recipes I use for soap-based blood is glycerin, which has the consistency of corn syrup, and it's clear, and methylcellulose, which is a powder that kind of replaces the corn starch in our edible blood. It kind of thickens it up a little bit. I use kid's paint. There's a washable tempera kid's paint for the coloring. And then I use Johnson's & Johnson's baby body wash for the soap. And that works pretty well. And it does wash out. But you got to keep in mind, we're still, you know, there's still red in there no matter what. Even though it's kid's washable paint, if you put that on white, it's still going to stain after a while. And I think that's the biggest thing I have had trouble with, is making sure directors and designers understand, if you have a white costume, if you have a white couch or something and you're putting blood on it, yes, it might wash out the first couple of times, but after a while, it will stain and it will end up pink. So I always try to push really hard to get maybe a darker color on stage instead of having just bright white or, you know, a gray color, something that the stain can kind of fade away into instead of being a bright pink spot.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to talk with your costume designer as early as possible, because there's a big difference if your actor is wearing like a dark red paisley polyester shirt, and as soon as they get blood on themselves, they run off stage so the costume crew can take their shirt and soak it in water immediately. That's a big difference from like the end of Carrie, where she's wearing a white prom dress and it might be made out of like silk chiffon or something, and she needs to be wearing it the entire time. I mean, you really gotta work to make sure that you have a pristine white costume every time, as opposed to, you know, polyester is going to wash out anyway, but you're not even going to notice stains if there are in a dark shirt. The decision you make for your blood is going to be dependent on the costumes that you're using, and you don't need to spend all this time and experimentation if the problem is solved by the choice of costume to begin with.
And always ask if you can have a swatch of the fabric that the wardrobe is made out of, because then you can do your own tests. You're not destroying the actual wardrobe. You have your swatches and you can do tests and say, okay, this worked, this didn't work. That's all, you know, it's all trial and error when it comes to blood, really.
Yeah. And even like lighting too. We were doing Death Trap, and at the very end, it's already a fairly bloody show, and at the end he's supposed to be stabbed repeatedly. But he was wearing a dark green sweater vest. And so the way it was blocked, what we ended up doing was he sort of got stabbed once, and we had a small blood effect. So he had this red blood appear on his neck. So the audience saw it was blood. And then the lighting changed to a very dark, very saturated red. And from then on, we were just using water, because it was showing up as just dark wetness on his green sweater. Oh, and nice. Under the lights, it looked exactly like blood. And since we had established to the audience this like one moment of blood, they just assumed it was blood at the end, even though it was just water. And it would have, you know, even if we had used fake blood, it would have looked exactly the same as water. So we were saving all this money and all this effort and cleaning it up. And we had audience, you know, coming up afterwards, like, he was drenched in blood right at the very end. And then he came out in curtain call and there wasn't any blood on him. How do you do that? Like, they bought magic into the idea that it was this blood. Sort of, you know, that's, we tricked amazing them. Ha ha ha.
Right.
So, yeah, you definitely want to know, like, what's your lights? What's your costumes? Mm-hmm. Is the effort of doing fake blood even worth it, or will water work, you know?
And another thing to always check in with, also reiterate to directors and the other designers, you can't really control blood. People have this idea that you can make the blood splatter at this specific point every single night and it not go anywhere else.
Right.
Yes, we can get to this area and make it somewhat consistent, but blood splashes. Blood goes places. I've had a costume designer say, well, the shirt can get blood on it, but the pants can't.
That's not going to happen.
That is impossible to guarantee. So always trying to have those conversations before and explaining, you know, we will do our best to, you know, hit our mark every single time with this blood effect. But the reality is there's always a chance that there's going to get blood somewhere else. You know, right. We can try to get it on the actor and not the wall behind it. Mm-hmm. But if the actor moves for a split second and the blood effect is still going on, then of course it's going to go behind them and hit the wall.
Yeah.
You know, so always making sure people understand that and really making sure, you know, is there a backup plan? Can we test it on the wall just in case it gets there, you know, and all of those things.
Yeah, like if it's a white wall, do we have a paint touch-up that we could just repaint it every so often mm-hmm. to get rid of the stains? We were doing mm-hmm. Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, which, surprise, there's a bloody scene in it. They're splashing blood on each other. And they're on basically like an antique Persian carpet, Persian rug. Mm. And so the blood is getting all over this. And so we would have to wash it out after every show, but it didn't dry fast enough. So we ended up having to have either two or three similar Persian rugs that could be swapped out. So while two of them are drying, the other's on the stage, just because cleaning mm-hmm. them was so intense.
Yeah, and that's very common to have double prop pieces like that, especially when you're doing a 2-day show and you don't have time to like clean the handkerchief or something like that, or even costumes will have a double just in case.
Right.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But yeah, because you just don't have the time to actually fully clean it. Yeah. And that's another thing you need to take into consideration of how long does it actually take to clean up the mess?
Right.
Because if your stage is fully covered in blood at the end of Act 1 and you need to come back to Act 2 with a clean stage, how long is it going to take your crew to clean this?
Yeah, it is possible to have somebody bleed on top of a white couch and have it cleaned before Act 2. If that's the plan from the very beginning and all departments are working towards that. That won't be able to happen if that's what's decided in the middle of tech.
That's when you have to say, sorry, but that's a longer process that we have run out of time for.
Right.
Maybe next time when we do the show.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the commercial blood products we've used.
Yes. A common commercial blood that I have used in the past is called Real Blood, R-E-E-L.
Yeah.
It's been pretty good. It has different types of red color to it. You can get it fairly cheaply. I don't think it's insanely expensive. Let's see. A 16-ounce bottle is $25.
And can you thin it down?
Yes. So you can thin it down by adding some water. That's pretty much common for any commercial bought blood or any made blood, homemade blood as well. You know, adding water is a very easy way to thin down blood. You can add food coloring to it to change the color. And I used this for quite a bit until I found a new product that I'm obsessed with. That Eric and I actually got to play with when we were in Chicago for the SPAM conference, and it's Gravity and Momentum Blood. And this is magical blood, in my opinion.
Yeah, actually manufactured in Chicago, which is where the conference was. And so we got to have a demonstration by one of the people who make it.
Yeah, and my favorite thing about, well, there's multiple things that I love about this blood. One, it washes out beautifully. You don't need soap. You literally just rinse it and it comes out perfectly. I have put it on muslin fabric before and let it sat for 5 hours and rinsed it out completely fine. It looked brand new. I've put it on my skin and let it sat on my skin for hours, washed it off, no red stain on my skin. It comes in 3 different thicknesses. It has blood juice, which is the thinnest, and then blood syrup, which is a bit of a medium thickness. It does drip a bit, but it's not, you know, pouring down like the juice. And then you have the blood jam, and the blood jam is the thickest. It will stay on you quite long without dripping. And you can alter all of these to be thinner if you need. You can always add water to the jam to make it more syrup-like if that's the only one you have in stock. You can also add color to it. But the problem with doing it on this product is it's not guaranteed to wash out afterwards.
Right.
Because you are changing its formula, and adding the food coloring could possibly get it to stain.
Yeah.
However, sometimes you're in tech and the director says that's not the right color and you need to fix it right then and there, and that's your solution. And fingers crossed.
Yeah, and some of the other prop masters during the demonstration, they had their own stories. And I don't remember anything specific, but paraphrasing, it's like, we drenched a white wedding dress in it and let it sit for 17 hours, and then we were still able to wash it out, and it was not pink at all.
And someone also said that they had a costume that they forgot to wash after a performance or something, and it dried. They came in the next day. They were like, oh no, we missed this spot or something. They threw it in the washer, came out perfectly clean. And that had dried. So even when it's dried, it'll still come out after just rinsing it. And the soap wasn't even added, just water. And there's no toxic chemicals in it whatsoever. So it's actually safe to put in your mouth, which is exciting. I'm actually using this right now for a moment where an actor coughs on stage. And the actor opposite of him is wearing a very pale blue shirt. And they were all, you know, concerned, of course, the blood coming out, because they had to do this performance every single night, sometimes twice a day. And there was no money to get new clothes. You know, they purchased these outfits. And so I've introduced them to this, and we've put it in a little gelatin capsule for them so he can bite down onto it. And the gelatin will, you know, is edible as well, so he can dissolve and swallow that and then cough up the blood, which is magical. It's just magical. That is my opinion on this blood, is it is magical.
Yeah, there's some kind of chemical thing going on where the dye is bonded to the blood itself, so the dye will never actually bond to a fabric or a surface that it's on, and it'll always wash off.
Correct. And that's why I said earlier, adding food coloring can change that, because then the food coloring is going to want to stick to the fabric that you're putting it on.
Right.
So now we mentioned you can thin this down, but you can also make it a little thicker for a moment. If you put it in the refrigerator and keep it chilled for a bit, it will thicken. And this is great for moments where you want blood to start out thick and become flowy in a few minutes or so. So when the blood hits the skin, you know, the skin is warm, so it'll start to warm up and become more liquid, which brings a nice effect to it as well. But if you do that, if you do refrigerate your blood and you want it to be thick and get thin throughout a moment on stage, make sure the actor is aware of this, because it will be cold and they will freak out for a moment.
Yes.
I made the mistake once of doing a practice test with actors and forgot to put the blood at room temperature before we started. So it was pretty much like fresh out of the refrigerator. And it was a spray effect. And it sprayed on the actor, and that actor's face was like, "Whoo, crap." And I was like, "Oh, she's doing so well. She got blood on her. She's afraid." She looked at me and she's like, "That is cold." I was like, "Oh, yeah. I should have not done that to you."
Just a natural reaction.
Naturally. I was like, method acting. We're method now.
Right, yeah. Cool. So another blood I've used before, it's called Pigs Might Fly blood. And I think it was also called Harry Potter blood, because it was either created by the team working on Harry Potter or created by Harry Potter himself. Either way, it comes from the UK. So while it washed out of a lot of things, the problem was if we ran out, we would have to get some more shipped over, and it could be like 2 to 3 weeks to get it shipped from the UK, and it would have to clear customs and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. So we started running into problems. It's also ridiculously expensive. At the time, it was kind of one of the better ones out there. So we were getting it kind of imported through Alcone, which is a makeup company that has a few stores in New York City, and they kind of suggested, they have their own blood that they call Paramount blood. So they suggested that it's actually very similar to the Pigs Might Fly, and it's also much, much cheaper, and it was available locally. And so, and if you're in the US, you could get it shipped much quicker too. So it is, again, it's been like, 10 years or so since that. So I don't know how it compares to Gravity and Momentum or any of these newer based bloods. But again, it says it washes out of most fabrics other than silk. And it's also non-toxic and safe for the mouth. Not ingestible, but...
So some blood effects that we have done in the past, one of my favorite effects that I've done was actually with a dead rooster. So, well, it started out alive and then it was killed on stage. But the moment was the actor was holding the rooster and chops off its head and then the rooster bleeds all over stage. And so while I was building this rooster, I decided to have a pocket in its chest where a blood bag would live. And then we decided to feed a hose from the blood bag up through its neck. And when I created the rooster head, I added a cork at the bottom of the head. So it would cork into the hose of the neck. And so each night he could take his dull knife and pop off the head, would open the hose, and then he could just squeeze the chest where the blood was in the bag, and it would just kind of run right out. For that blood, we used a very thin blood, because if it was too thick, then it wouldn't actually travel through the hose properly. And that's something to take into consideration when you're doing effects of what kind of effect are you doing will determine the thickness of what you're using. Because if you're using something with tubes and hydraulics and all that business, you want it to be thin because it will pass through those hoses easily. But if you're, you know, picking up some bloody guts, you know, that can be real thick because it's just with your hands. It's not having to travel through stuff. But thus far, that has been my favorite blood effect is that rooster. And that rooster got thrown in the blood every night. So we had to kind of wash him off every night. Luckily, the actor was smart and didn't put him directly in the blood. He would try to put it to the side of the blood.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, he was a smart actor. I love when they're smart. And so we only had a little bit of blood on him each night, and we just took, you know, a wet sponge and wiped it off because you didn't want to use soap on the real feathers that I had used on him and stuff that. So you have to be careful of that. And that was a thing that you had to take into consideration when you're starting out your project is, okay, I know this is going to get blood on it. How do I clean it so it can be used every night and it doesn't turn pink? And so we used, you know, darker feathers and was able to wipe them off with just a wet sponge instead of using white feathers.
Yeah. I had just a few months ago, one of my favorite effects, I did a blood cannon. So it was basically the actress walks off stage and it was walking through those vinyl strips like you see at a warehouse. That was kind of the wall. And so she walks off stage and then you hear a gunshot and then this big blood splatter on the vinyl as if she had shot herself. So just like with the rooster, I had to come up with a blood recipe that was thin enough because it's being shot out of this tiny pneumatic nozzle that it won't clog it. But also, you know, it wanted some thickness because it wanted to hit the vinyl. And then it's sort of you watch it like slowly drip for the rest of the show. And you don't want it to like run down as if it's, you know, Kool-Aid or something like that. So trying to find this like perfect thickness to it. And also, you know, you kind of want some chunks in there because it's bits of skull and brain and things like that. But it needed to be easy to clean up. We ended up using a rasp on styrofoam, the pink styrofoam, and just shaving it down and making that and mixing that in. So it was
interesting.
You know, it's if any of it shot off too far, you wouldn't have little morsels of food where that would attract the mice or anything like that. And it was easy to clean up, like it, you know, just kind of all washed up and washed away. So that was a lot of fun. And we found, you know, it was one of the big problems was the cleanup, because at first it was spattering a lot, but that meant that the crew was having to soap down and wash down this large area at the end of every show. So we sort of toned it down a bit. So it was a much smaller kind of spray pattern, and confined to a smaller area. So they're not having to like get a ladder and climb all the way up to the grid because there's, you know, drops of blood that made it up that far. But, you know, we were definitely lucky because cleaning that vinyl is really easy. You know, you just wash it down with soap and water and it'll clean up. It doesn't stain at all. That's kind of why we use it for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there was another show that I did called Dear and the Lovers, and it was a great, great little show. But there was a dead deer, and they wanted, you know, real blood with the dead deer so the actors could curl up to it and then go sit on the white furniture and the white rug and everything white. And then during intermission, everything that was bloody was taken from the set, and then it turned into more of a forest area. So cleanup during the show wasn't really a problem. It was just more striking it. But I felt so bad for the crew because after the show, they had to clean the couch and the deer. And what I did was I got slip covers so they could be taken off and washed and bleached and everything. If I were to do that show again, I would try to push harder for it not to be pure white. But that was the beginning of my blood adventures, and I had no idea what I was doing. Well, guys, I think that's actually all the time we have today. I could go on and on about blood and all the stories that we have.
Yeah, there's definitely plenty of resources out there to look up, books. And if you ever go to USITT, there's often stuff at the Design Tech Expo showing new blood recipes and effects that have been tried. There's no shortage of blood in the theater.
Never. Well, thank you guys for listening. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at Silk Miché and email us with questions or ideas that you would like to hear for future episodes at propspodcast@gmail.com.
And be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and check out our website at silkflowersandpapermachehearts.com. And if you want to support us, we have a brand new Patreon. So check us out at patreon.com/silkmache if you want to support us with a small amount every month.
With your support, we can bring you guys some better quality episodes, and we can do some more interviews and try to get some more episodes out there for you. So we would greatly appreciate your support. This has been another episode of Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts with your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. We'll see you next week.
Bye.